Okay, so we're coming off last night's practice. I thought we had a good night there. We got a lot of things done, spent some time in the red area and dealt with a couple other situations and probably slow things down a little bit here this afternoon. But I think that the players are working hard. They have taken the coaching and things that we've asked them to do and really, tried to work on them. I see some improvement here. We got a long way to go. We got a lot of timing and execution to build, but I think that we're moving in the right direction. So hopefully we can just keep taking one good step every day here, and we'll see where we're at about a week from now when we go against another competitive team.
Last night, the scuffle, no big deal to you? A good thing.
Football's it's competitive and we're in a competitive camp. So I think some of those things are just part of football.
On that particular one, did you feel like it was close to crossing the line where players could have got hurt?
I think there's look, football's football, and so we deal with a lot of things in football. I don't think it's a big deal.
Dennis, just signed him today. What's the?
It'll be a couple days before we can actually get him out there. So, just try to catch him up with some information and material, and then, when he's able to practice, we'll start practicing him.
My rules guy here, so
I gotcha.
What do you like about him?
Well, we can give him an opportunity. So, we'll see. See how it goes.
Bill, years ago when Dinosaur was roaming the earth in the NFL, we were talking about training camps and six preseason games and long camps of double for 2 days. Was there ever a time years ago the players would come from their off-season jobs, come in and try to get into shape in preseason? When you started your NFL career, was that still happening, or by that time
yes.
The players...
Absolutely. Yeah, it was still happening. I remember the rookies in 75, I think they were making $19,000.
Guys were still using training camp. The veterans, the established veterans, were getting into shape, though, coming in to get into shape.
There was no off-season program. There really wasn't. Yeah, so, and mini camps and all that. That was kind of just getting started. Kind of an informal thing, and not everybody would be there, and that type of thing. Like you said, guys had other jobs, or they were doing other things. A lot of guys, would go back and finish school, go to their, take a semester of classes in the spring, the extra semester that they needed to graduate, things like that. So, it was a whole different ballgame.
Bill, one of the great strengths of this team over a lot of your tenure here as head coach has been the continuity along the offensive line. You're entering a year where there's going to be quite a bit of change, and you have some injury-related problems with that right now, and here you are having to pick up another guy to help fill in with depth. How much does this concern you? How much of a concern do you have about the fact that it's so important for continuity on the offensive line to be successful and to protect Tom and all that?
Certainly that's an important part of our team, and we'll just have to see how it all comes together. I think there are some pretty established players on our team that just aren't out there right now. What'll happen when they come out there, or if or whatever, then we'll have to see how all that takes place. But as I said before, one of the things. Like what happened to us last year was, we lost our starting center in the opener against Miami. We ended up with, four different players starting at center over the course of the season. And by the end of the season, we felt like we had four guys that could play the position rather than we knew for sure we had one. But we were really confident that we had four by the end of the year. So unfortunately, those guys that aren't able to be out there provide opportunities for somebody else. And it'll just be a question of whether or not somebody can take advantage of those opportunities and how much the not being out there will affect the guys that aren't out there. We won't know the answer to that question until they we actually get a chance to evaluate them. But I mean, I think they're getting closer. They're working hard, and we'll just have to see how it all comes together.
How do you feel Tavon Wilson is handling the transition from the college game to the information that you're giving him here?
Good. I mean, I think he's been on a steady course since he got here. He's very Tavon works hard. He's very attentive. He asks good questions. He really pays attention. He's a hardworking kid. I mean, both on and off the field. So. Steady improvement, long way to go, tough position to play, but and a tough position to transition into because of all the different things in the passing game and formations and matchups and, you know, all those type of things that, veteran safeties would recognize, you know, where the advantage of the matchup is to the offense and either what we can do about it schematically or what we can do about it in terms of anticipation and by formation and so forth. But I think he's coming along, and again, as long as we can keep making progress and keep heading in the right direction, then, you know, I think eventually it'll come together for a lot of these young guys.
Go back to the scuffle for a minute. When a team goes through something like that, can it also, you know, serve to bond the team? Have you seen examples in the past where something like that happens? And if it's an example of the players policing themselves, that is an example the players can serve to each other about leadership and bonding and being a tight-knit group.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about all that.
Reading too much into it, or?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. A fight that crystallized the team. I mean, I don't know. Not any that I can think of.
Maybe making too much of that in the past. Have you seen much worse practice fights? I mean, you've been around 30 years.
Yeah, seen a lot worse. Yeah.
Could you share the best one with
me? Big thing I try to do is stay out of the way and not get hit. Which that's happened more than once, so.
Jeff Van Gundy told it was around.
No. Be the last one to try to break that up. Probably I'll go after me.
Last year, Marcus Cannon had to deal with a lockout, and then he had the cancer treatments. But he was able to contribute during the year. This is his first real offseason in training camp. Has he had to start over in a sense to kind of, or was he able to make enough progress last year?
Well, I think, you know, what he was able to do last year was, you know, build a base and get an understanding of, you know, the offense and things that we were doing and his position and so forth. So I think he started at a much higher point this year than he did last year when he came back, in October from the PUP situation. But, of course, the opportunity for him to be out on the field every day in the spring and in OTAs, the off-season program, and then now in training camp has, you know, been tremendous. I mean, so his – you know, that's been so important for him. He's gotten a lot out of it. He's improved in, you know, so many things from where he was at the end of the season because he just didn't have that base to build on last year. So, I'd say he's way ahead of where he was last year. I don't think he would have been able to do a lot of the things that, you know, he's been able to do so far this year. I mean, now he's still got a long way to go. He's still, you know, a second-year player with not much of a first year, but relative to where he was last year. I mean, it's leaps and bounds ahead of that.
Coach, how valuable is someone like Coach Scarnecchia, who can, we're talking about the offensive line and some of the shakeup that's there and some of the relative inexperience. How important is he to be able to?
Yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome. I mean, Dante is, he's a great coach on every level. You know, he's real good with X's and O's. Does a great job with the veteran players. I mean, he's brought along and developed so many of our young players, rookie players, draft choices, free agents, taking guys off the practice squad and built them into starters or contributors on the line. So he's invaluable. And I think not only myself, but, you know, a lot of other people on the staff as well, other coaching staff members, rely on him for advice and, and or you know, ask him questions of it, you know, take advantage of his experience. And you know, he's had not only experience on the offensive line, but he's coached special teams, he's coached defense. He's, you know, really got a great breadth in his coaching career and experience level, as well as, you know, great proficiency in the offensive line, and you know, how well he's done with that group since I've been here and before that. So yeah, he does a tremendous job.
Bill, does the fact that he coached so many other positions over his time here, does that somehow lead into the, since he's concentrated on the offensive line now for so many years, is that get kind of whole experience behind that focused him in a certain way? Has it helped him become a better offensive line coach, say, to have coached on the other side of the ball, things like that?
Oh, I'm sure it has. Yeah, I'm sure it has. And if you're coaching one position, if you've coached the one on the other side of the ball, then, you know, you have an appreciation for what that group's thinking, what they're seeing, what their keys are in a certain defense, or how they change in a different defense, how their responsibilities change, and, you know, it helps you attack them better, no question. But again, you know, the whole special teams thing, I mean, just gives you a total appreciation for the game. And, you know, guys don't just have, you know, offensive and defensive assignments to go back and study at night. They have, you know, special teams responsibilities. And, you know, I think an experienced coach that's done that, you know, just, I mean, you know how things can pile up on players and how one thing can run, you know, can run into something else. And, you know, I mean, I know when I first came into the league, you know, you kind of lose sight of that. You just, you know, position you're coaching, and, you know, you want them to do better, but there's a lot of other things that they have to do. And if you haven't, like I said, coached on the other side of the ball, then, you know, sometimes the things that you're telling them as a young coach may be, you know, with less accuracy or maybe less confidence because you're not sure exactly what that guy's being told or what, you know, you just haven't done it, been around long enough. You have a little different level of confidence. So, yeah, having coached that really makes a difference. You know, I know, like, when I was coaching the tight ends at Detroit, and we had Charlie Sanders and David Hill, you know, I remember several meetings that we were in when they would ask questions about, well, what if this happens or what if that happens, which I hadn't really thought about that happening. You know, like, here's your assignment, here's what you do, but then, okay, here's something a little unusual. What will we do in this situation? And, you know, I wasn't really, really sure. And, you know, and Charlie would usually say, well, you know, we would do this if that happened, right? And, you know, because that's the way they'd done it before. And, you know, usually that was right, but not always. And then when I coached the linebackers at the Giants, you know, I can remember relating back to my experience of coaching the tight ends with the Lions of, you know, how a tight end thinks, how a head-up technique or an outside technique or, you know, the change of a stance or, you know, jamming a tight end, not jamming the tight, like how that affected all the tight end things. And so, I mean, I could talk with a lot more confidence to an outside linebacker about, hey, you know, here's what the tight end's going to do, or if you do this, this is what he wants to do, or this is where he wants you to be, or, you know, whatever it was on a specific play, you know, a lot differently than I could a few years before when I was coaching the other position. So, yeah, I think there's great value in that.
Bill, Ninkovich and Branch have been out there at practice the last couple of days, but don't look like they've done much. Are they fighting through anything?
I think probably everybody on the field is fighting through something right now. So, I mean, been up there practicing for a week in training camp. You know, like, everybody's got a little something. Even the coaches slowing them down a little bit. So, you know, I mean, guys do things, and, you know, sometimes they do more one day and less the next, and sometimes they're, you know, managing a situation from the practice before or something like that. So, but if they're out there, then they're either doing what they can do or they're close to being able to, you know, do more, one or the other.
Alex Silvestro with the white jersey, new number. Does that signify that he's now officially tight end versus?
Well, if we play him a tight end, now he doesn't have to report on every play. I mean, I don't think it's a status change as much as it's a, you know, procedural change.
Thank you.
reps, right?
Right. But I mean, it's tough enough when we got to report on the, you know, goal line plays and all that. But I mean, to have to report on every single play is, if that's the position he's going to play on offense, then might as well just make it a little bit easier. Okay.
The Saints practices, is that going to be the first time you guys might have refs out there, whether replacement refs or just any?
Yeah, I think the NFL officials are coming, like, I'm not sure the exact date, but maybe Monday or Tuesday, something like that. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Thank you.